If you have a hoard of toilet paper, paper towels, and booze, congratulations. You now run Bartertown. Welcome to Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Khalil Ekolota. This evening, we take a look at what some would call sneaky moves by companies and federal officials to squeeze through new fracking and oil and gas leases in our state or outlaw protesters. And we're asking the question, is now a good time to roll back EPA regulations? And how does that help us fight the pandemic? Stay tuned as we look to uncover the answers. First up, executive producer Marisa DeMarco has a news rundown of what we know today, Tuesday, April 7th, as of 5 p.m.
New Zealand imposed a strict COVID lockdown policy, including limiting outdoor activities like swimming and hunting, and it shut its borders early on. 10 days later, according to the Washington Post, and the country is seeing the number of confirmed cases drop, even though testing there is increasing. And in China, for the first time since January, there were no virus-related deaths. The number of patients on ventilators in New York went up, but not by as much as it has been. That's true for the number of patients in hospitals there, too. That's a sign of hope, according to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Still, New York saw its highest daily number of deaths yet, with 731. An advisor warned President Trump about coronavirus earlier this year, but he said he didn't get the memo until recently in a news conference today. Here in New Mexico, the number of people who are confirmed to have the virus jumped by more than 100 today to 794. One more person died, bringing the death toll to 13. Two pueblos are seeing outbreaks this week, too. There were 52 cases in San Felipe and 31 in Zia. In the Navajo Nation, there are 384 confirmed cases, a high number given the population size, and there have been 15 virus-related deaths. Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez is asking the governors of New Mexico and Utah to close liquor stores in border towns. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham did issue an executive order closing standalone liquor stores around the state, though people can still buy alcohol at grocery stores and gas stations. The Spanish Market, Indian Market, and International Folk Art Market in Santa Fe won't happen this summer. Officials are also asking people not to make their annual pilgrimage to Chimayo or Tome Hill this Holy Week. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
Recently, the Environmental Protection Agency rolled back some regulations, a move that almost went unnoticed. What was rolled back and what will be the impact of this decision? Laura Paskus from New Mexico PBS joins the show to shed some light on this story. Laura, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me. It's really nice to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice as well. You're doing well. You're healthy. Family's healthy.
Yes. Anxious and worried, but healthy, safe, and grateful.
Good. Yeah, it's really, really good to hear. So tell me, what exactly happened with the EPA and these rollbacks?
So on the 26th of March, reporters received an email from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency saying that because of the ongoing pandemic, that it was putting in place a new policy that would basically allow regulated industries, and that can be power plants, oil and gas industry, military installations, to be doing some self-reporting and self-regulating. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm wondering, do you have any information on why they decided to roll this back?
I think like every agency and company and family in the world right now, the agency employees are largely working from home. You know, there are limitations on what people can actually be doing right now. But given the Trump administration's track record and given Administrator Andrew Wheeler's connections with industry and reluctance to enforce environmental regulations, this does seem like a pretty concerning move, especially because the 7-page memo that explains what this policy is does not explain exactly when it will be rescinded and how enforcement will be returned to normal. And I followed up with the EPA asking a number of questions, including related to how the policy will be turned back. They didn't offer answers.
No answers whatsoever. And all this came through while the country is focused on the coronavirus.
Yeah, and I was able to trade some emails with a spokesman at EPA, but the questions that were most important in my mind were not answered. And you're right, you know, people right now, state regulators are certainly overextended. People within their communities are supposed to be staying home, not out trying to track down whether facilities are polluting in their communities. It's a really distressing moment in time, obviously. I've been a little bit obsessed thinking about this even since the story published in China, think about what this could mean for New Mexico and, you know, for every place around the country. And the scariest part is we won't know what the impacts are until down the road. We won't know what pollution may have occurred that affects the environment, groundwater, public health. You know, so many of these issues of pollution are potentially long-term problems. Yeah. And so it's really important to be vigilant right now.
So everyone has huge issues on their plate just for their own survival and may not have a lot of time or headspace to engage with the environmental rules and decisions. Can there be government transparency during a public health emergency?
You know, that is such a good question. And that transparency is so important so that someday we will get through this and we need to be able to look back and find out what was happening. And that transparency is hugely, hugely important now more than ever.
Yeah. And does this feel like a sneaky way to kind of slip things by the public?
It does. Also, this email came out on March 26th. The policy is retroactive to March 13th. And state regulators and tribal regulators were not notified of this policy ahead of time. They didn't have input into it. You know, they were finding out about it as reporters were calling and asking what's going on. So the federal government is not even being transparent with its state and tribal partners.
There's no way that people can get together in person and protest these or anything. I understand we've got social distancing guidelines, but have you seen any sort of community response, a virtual response, anything?
I mean, the conservation community has certainly tried to push back and kind of amplifying news about this issue. But gosh, you know, people are just strapped. I'm very fortunate. My family is healthy. I still have a job. And yet in my day-to-day life, I know I certainly am not monitoring what's happening in my community with respect to pollution. You know, we rely on these government agencies to enforce regulations. You know, Congress believed enough in clean air and clean water back in the late 1960s and early 1970s. We knew this was important. And this is the country that we had wanted, one with clean water and clean air.
Yeah. And it's very interesting coming at a time when, of course, most of the developed world is under stay-at-home orders. And we're seeing the air quality is cleaner. There are reports of cleaner air quality in China and Europe. And it comes at a very interesting time to roll back these regulations.
It really does. And I think also many of us who are healthy and have the privilege of slowing down a little bit can recognize and remember why the natural world is such an important part of our daily lives and why we rely upon it.
That's
so
right.
Deeply.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here. But I'm happy that you're here. She's Laura Paskus with New Mexico PBS. Thank you so much for keeping us up to date on this information. And will you be back with updates as we discover more?
Yes, for sure. And I'm not suggesting anyone be out and about in their communities. But if you do have concerns about pollution in your community, please do Google me, reach out, find me, let me know.
That's what we're going to do. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
Reporter Laura Paskus also interviewed New Mexico Environment Department Secretary James Kenney about the impacts of that EPA move here in the state for our media partner, New Mexico PBS. Thanks to the folks over there for sharing this with us.
Last week, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced what it called a discretion policy for COVID-19 pandemic conditions. When did state regulators first find out about this rule, and how might it affect the state of New Mexico?
The memo that you're speaking of, it's not an EPA rule. It's a memo. It's guidance. we found out at the Environment Department, I think like many environmental regulators, the day it came out. So there was not a large opportunity for us to weigh in on the shaping of that. But that memo basically provides enforcement discretion in the way EPA is going to look at violations of civil laws, our environmental laws, during the public health emergency. How it's going to affect New Mexico is actually an interesting question. There's, I think, various degrees in which it's going to affect us. But here at the Environment Department, we have a lot of those flexibilities. EPA actually has a lot of the flexibilities that are put forward in that memo without the memo even existing. We're going to continue to assure that New Mexicans have safe food, safe water, infectious waste is managed. And then we're also going to continue to look at making sure that the public health emergency caused by COVID is not aggravated by additional public health emergencies caused by noncompliance with environmental laws.
Can you describe what laws this applies to and kind of what types of facilities might be affected?
So here in New Mexico, oil and gas industry is regulated for their air emissions, for their water as well. But beyond that, our drinking water has regulations that apply to it in terms of making sure it's safe. So it's not just industry, it's also the public services we depend upon to ensure that we have safe water and things like that. So that's one area. You often hear folks from the Environment Department, including myself, talking about legacy waste in the state of New Mexico. Those legacy waste are either regulated by Superfund, the CERCLA law in which the Environment Department implements with EPA, or regulated by what we call corrective action, meaning there are active sites that are undergoing abatement or some kind of remedial activities. Those are also covered, and we're waiting for additional guidance from EPA on that. It really does affect every industry and every service here in New Mexico.
In that new policy, the notice that was sent out, it says that the federal agency, the EPA, won't penalize companies or facilities that don't comply with monitoring and reporting requirements, but they add that the agency does expect operators of public water systems to continue to ensure the safety of our drinking water supplies. Are we at a point where compliance with these laws are voluntary?
That's a good question. During the public health emergency and the way EPA issued that guidance, the standing position that those laws are always running and that there are policies outside of the one that was just issued that account for what to do when noncompliance occurs and there's outside factors like force majeure provisions, natural acts, hurricanes, earthquakes, things like that. We're not unaccustomed to emergencies interrupting our ability to assure compliance. We're going to continue to make sure that laws are followed to the best we can, but we have to be very candid that here in New Mexico, while we're doing all these social distancing and all these efforts on under the public health order that the governor and Secretary Kunkel from Department of Health issued, we have to be realistic that there will be disruptions in environmental services, environmental compliance, and that's just going to be something we're going to have to deal with. Like I said, we have the policies and procedures in place outside of that memo that just seems to collect them all and put it out there more affirmatively.
Even in the best of times, the New Mexico Environment Department has traditionally or often been underfunded and certainly understaffed. And now your department has the additional burden of people having to work from home. I'm curious how this move from EPA affects NMED's ability to carry out its regulatory duties across the state.
Let me break it down by numbers. Of the 525 NMED employees, 100% of us are working from home now. Let me further break it down and tell you that 25% of our workforce is actively working on COVID-19 issues, making sure our food, our drinking water, our places of employment, those essential services, healthcare industry, are protecting their workers, because we have the OSHA program at the Environment Department. We're also the group that would look at infectious waste and making sure that that's managed properly, as well as wastewater. So when we, you know, flush our toilets and chemical plants are treating their wastewater, we're that group as well. And then about 75% of our employees, the balance of us, are working to ensure that developing our methane rules, working on the contamination that I mentioned about legacy contamination, permits, and then compliance. But we again, have to be realistic. We're not putting our people in the field as much because we're practicing social distancing and doing things remotely as best as we can to stop the spread.
Secretary Kenny, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to everyone who's working so hard right now.
We appreciate it. Thank you for letting us on and share this important information.
In the chaos of the coronavirus pandemic, three states, Kentucky, South Carolina, and West Virginia, passed laws adding more criminal penalties to oil pipeline protests, saying pipelines are critical infrastructure. Many people from the Southwest and New Mexico went to Standing Rock to protest the Dakota Access Pipeline. We have one of those folks on the line now to respond to these changes. Liz McKenzie is here with us. Liz, thanks for being on the show. Now, the Huffington Post reported that three states during this pandemic pushed through laws that would further criminalize these kinds of protests. What do you make of that?
It's not surprising at all, but I read that article. You know, of course, I was angry and infuriated. But as it was known, you know, Obama went to Standing Rock to butter everyone up, you know, as he was signing the necessary things to approve this pipeline.
You know, people have had to deal with all kinds of legal problems after getting arrested at Standing Rock. How do you think these laws will create problems for people fighting for the sovereignty of their land in the future?
It seems very frustrating because, I mean, you know, we can fight as much as we can. In the end, it's kind of going to take a social awareness to really get where we need to get, especially while people are being sneaky on their front and their side, like the various states. And it's only going to make things more dangerous for us to try and survive on our end, because like that's what this is all about. This is about, you know, us fighting for our survival and the land that, you know, we live on. It's there's so many issues that just tie back to the land, and it's just so frustrating for these states just sneakily slide these into approval without, you know, a lot of public knowledge about it.
It's very craven to do this, particularly at a time where everyone's attention, rightfully so, is directed towards this pandemic and preventing its spread. Now, how will this impact the ongoing movements to stand against environmental degradation, water degradation, and the destruction of sacred lands?
Oof. It's definitely going to put a damper on a lot of things, especially moving forward. Standing Rock was amazing, but what it really was kind of the prototype for a lot of these other movements and protests that are happening, you know, like the pipeline going through the bayou and, you know, the Canadian pipelines. What a lot of those camps like learned was how Standing Rock was flawed. And so they could tighten up how they were approaching things, as well as, you know, like on the legal side, all of like, you know, the people working on the legal teams, they had to reformulate their approach. And even though this is happening, I strongly believe that it's just going to keep adapting to how this battle is being approached. And everyone's just going to adapt and continue to move forward the best we know how, because there really isn't any other option besides, you know, what, assimilation?
Yeah, it's either continue to fight and stand up for what you believe in, your principles, or, like you said, completely assimilate. Now, tell me, what do you want to see happen next? Is there a way people who are taking action on these issues right now, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic, is there a way for people to take action against these measures?
That's really difficult because, you know, like I said, it's kind of a matter of social awareness. And it seems like the general population doesn't have the emotional energy to kind of deal with more traumas. And this is like a very traumatizing historical event that's happening, this global pandemic. And it's completely abusive that the government is taking advantage of that. What we just really have to do is just like keep trying to raise awareness on social media, keep talking about it, just keep uplifting and supporting the people who are actually on the front lines And not just, you know, like legally and physically, but also groups like, you know, the Red Nation, who are always trying to bring awareness and change the laws here in New Mexico.
We're going to stay vigilant and keep our eye on this. Liz McKenzie, thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, sure.
This is Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. We're covering the way the virus and health measures are impacting people differently around the state. Stay tuned in every weeknight at 7:30 p.m. You can find all of those episodes online at KUNM.org. Social distancing requires us to stay at home, but we have to buy supplies and food. If you're the member of your household who is the chosen shopper, you may have noticed that the price of gas is pretty low, very low. How does that affect us here in New Mexico? To talk implications of gas prices and the pandemic, State Land Commissioner Stephanie Garcia-Richard joins YNMG.
Thanks, Khalil.
Let me ask you, what kind of impact is the pandemic having on oil and gas revenues for the state?
So for anyone who's recently been out on the highways or been to an airport, you'll know that the demand for the product of petroleum and oil has been severely reduced with the pandemic, with folks staying put, staying at home. But we have a double whammy right now because there is also a global price war that's happening between Saudi Arabia, government of OPEC, and Russia, where they are basically trying a race to the bottom to flood the market with cheap oil and put U.S. oil and gas producers out of business.
Yeah, that's...
So that's what the industry is facing. It's not just the reducing demand. It's this price war that's happening as well.
We had a flush year last year. Lawmakers built a big budget off of it. How would a dip in oil and gas money affect those budget plans?
Just to be clear for your listeners, not only does our state budget rely on proceeds from this industry, but it directly pays for schools, universities, and hospitals through my office as well. So we have a pretty heavy reliance on revenue from this industry. I'm hearing that we're going to have to cut back in the new budget cycle to the tune of maybe even $2
billion. $2 billion we're going to have to cut back on this year's budget?
What folks are projecting for the upcoming fiscal year.
New Mexico is heavily dependent on oil and gas revenue, as you just stated. How can the state, how can we change that up so not all of our eggs are in one natural resource basket, if you will?
So that's a great question, and one that, you know, I've been beating the drum on almost for as long as I've been running for office, and certainly since being elected to this particular position. I think that this current crisis and the 1-2 punch to the industry has really shown some things in relief. One of them has been our need to diversify our revenue stream, to diversify our economy away from such a heavy reliance on one industry, mm-hmm. particularly an industry even without COVID, even without a price war, experiences natural boom and bust cycles.
You've initiated an emergency rule process during this pandemic. You're trying to allow oil and gas wells to shut down without losing their leases. Why is that rule usually in place?
Right now at the state land office, if you want to hold your lease, you have to be producing product. You have to be drilling oil out of the ground to hold onto your lease. And then that oil gets royalty assessed on it, and that royalty is paid to the beneficiaries of the state land office. Mm-hmm. At this time, when we see oil $21 a barrel, $23 a barrel, it just does not make financial sense for us to continue to be taking it out of the ground at such a discounted rate. Our beneficiaries, they don't benefit from a 20% royalty on $20 barrel of oil. And it's an elective procedure. So, you know, industry and companies can elect to do this or not, mm-hmm. to do what's called shut in of their wells, to stop producing, and then pay a nominal fee rather than the royalty. But they are no longer pumping product. So it stays in the ground.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I wish that you and your family stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you again for being on the show. Potentially we can have you on again to talk as things develop.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. She is State Land Commissioner Stephanie Garcia-Richard. Thanks for being on the show. Even though there's a pandemic on, the Bureau of Land Management is still pushing through new oil and gas and fracking leases on New Mexican public lands. Rebecca Sobel is with Wild Earth Guardians. She's here to talk about what that process is usually like and what's different now. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
For folks who are kind of new to this issue, what is the Bureau of Land Management and what does it do here in New Mexico?
The Bureau of Land Management is a federal agency that runs out of the Federal Department of Interior. And the Bureau of Land Management controls roughly 1 out of every 5 acres of land in this country. And most of that public land is in the West. And a lot of that public land is in New Mexico.
Now, what's been on deck for the BLM to make decisions about during this pandemic?
Before the whole world went upside down, the Bureau of Land Management gave the public, they used to give us 30 days, but now they give us 10 days to comment on oil and gas proposals, generally speaking. They used to require those comments all be hand-delivered, which is sort of crazy in 2020 anyway. Given Corona, they are accepting emails, and they're also undergoing a couple of rulemaking and planning processes that have broad implications. In the greater Chaco area, there's a land management planning process that's been 20 years in the making and 30 years in the making in southeastern New Mexico and the greater Carlsbad area. And both of these areas of our state are being currently exploited for fracking, and the BLM is using the fact that folks can't participate in public meetings and gather to exploit the opportunity to reduce public comment and push along more plans to frack.
Now, does this feel unethical to you that they're moving forward still during this time?
Oh, it's like a new low. I mean, it's not even insult to injury. It's obscene, the efforts that this administration is taking. We really have to ask ourselves, is this really the best time to be sacrificing more public land and more public health for short-term revenue loss?
What do you want to see happen next?
I mean, the first sensible thing to do is for all regulators to stop any activities that further endanger public health, suspending all oil and gas lease sales on a state and federal level, and suspending all rulemaking that would propagate more activities that risk public health. What I don't think the public realizes is in the midst of the public health crisis, we also are having an economic crisis. And as well as New Mexico has planned for an oil boom, and it's true that undeniably we are in an oil bust right now, we are also dealing with the inevitable cost of environmental remediation of what happens when we really hit the bottom on oil and gas. And so these companies that are going bankrupt in the next few weeks, some of them in the next few months, they're on the hook for cleaning up, and they won't have the money to do it, and it will be New Mexico taxpayers that are on the line for cleaning up the wasted legacy of fracking.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for informing myself and our listeners as to these issues. Hopefully we can have you back on as things develop.
I'd love to be here. Thanks for having me.
A spokesperson for the Bureau of Land Management responded to our request for an interview with an email. She wrote that the BLM is mandated to offer oil and gas leases quarterly and has no plan to postpone any of those, and that companies decide on whether to bid on those sometimes years in advance. She did not address access questions for people who like to object to these leases during the pandemic. We have links to all of the news stories we talked about in today's episode online at KUNM.org, and find a full list of the resources for each episode and opportunities to donate or help online at bit.ly/YNMGHub. On tomorrow's episode, small businesses. Yes, small businesses are a big part of our communities. But what does their chances of survival during this global pandemic look like? Will they be able to bounce back? Will they remain? How do the actions of today affect the future of small business, and what will that future look like? Tune in tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. on KUNM 89.9 for your New Mexico government as we delve deeper into those questions. Your New Mexico government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. It's produced by yours truly. News update by Marisa DeMarco. A very large amount of props goes to Bryce Dix for putting in the editing work. Theme music by Pope. Yes, yes, y'all. Hear us all week long on KUNM's airwaves at 7:30 p.m. online. Find the show on KUNM.org or subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund. For everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening.